Good morning, welcome to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito. I'll be your host for the rest of the hour here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. We're talking about real estate, the ins, the outs, what you need to know about buying and selling properties, specifically here in Rhode Island and surrounding Massachusetts and Connecticut. And if you have any questions at all during the show or anytime, any day of the week, you can text or call me 401-359-2338. That's my personal cell phone. I'm giving you there, 401-359-2338. And today we've got a great guest with us. We've got Paul Salcone of North Point Bank. Now, Paul is one of the top loan originators in the state of Rhode Island, and North Point has the ability to underwrite in all 50 states. They have a bunch of different products for our buyers and for sellers who are also buying. And today we wanted to invite Paul on so we could talk about the pre-approval process, what documents you need to get to that closing table. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Emilio, for having me on today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Great to have you. So a lot of times we're bringing buyers in, we're doing a buyer consultation, and you know, there's some people that are like, hey, you know, I'll start that pre-approval process later on when I find a home. And we say, no, you got to start that now. It's one of the things we require of our buyers. Paul, can you talk about some of the stuff that's needed, some of the documents that are needed for a pre-approval, why that's important, and what it takes to get to the closing table?
Sure, absolutely. So as you mentioned, hit it right in the head. People, you know, nowadays, oh, I'll get pre-approved once I find the house. We all know that in this market, you need to be ahead of the game. If you find a house you love, you got to put an offer right away. You wait a day, 2 days, even, you know, it could be under contract. So when I sit down with someone for a pre-approval, I always tell them the documents I need, most importantly, you know, obviously we need your license and social security number to run credit. That's paramount. Then we also need, you know, pay stubs. If you're a W-2 employee, work for a company, your salary, we need 4 weeks of pay stubs to verify your income, you know, weekly and year to date. Also with people who are self-employed, in addition to pay stubs or W-2s, we would ask them for tax returns for the past 2 years. If they're, you know, have a Schedule C, which is like a 1099 income, who are, you know, self-employed contractors, you know, real estate agents, you know, people that, you know, own small companies, the Schedule C is important. So their tax returns will show their income for the past 2 years. Now, if it's someone who owns, you know, numerous companies, LLCs, or have, you know, maybe a business that's a larger corporation or partnership, we'd also need 2 years of business tax returns along with K-1s, which is something that, you know, a lot of self-employed borrowers are aware of. So that's very important documentation there. That's just to verify income. Now, when we look at also assets, we look at your down payment. What do we need for that? Well, most people, it's 2 months of a checking or a savings account for traditional borrowers. But some borrowers may pull money from a retirement account. So we need a quarterly 401k statement to verify funds. If we go a little bit deeper, there are some people who have stocks, bonds, you know, bank statements that show your assets, portfolios. You know, and another thing we would ask for, if someone's looking for, say, gift funds from a family member, we would also need a bank statement from them verifying where the funds are coming from. So as you can see here, I mean, it comes down to having the ability to run credit with the license and social security number. Their income be verified with either W-2, pay stub, or tax return. And then the down payment itself to be verified with either a bank statement of some sort or gift funds. I mean, those are the most important documents. There are more, but those are the ones that we would say 90% of borrowers would need to give us.
Got it. Now, can somebody use a home equity line of credit on traditional mortgages or?
Correct. So if someone is using for a down payment, let's say they're pulling money from a HELOC, home equity line of credit they have on their primary residence. Let's say they're buying a second home or maybe an investment property. They can take money from their home equity line and use that for their down payment. We'll need a copy of the most recent statement, and we'll also have to figure out how much the payment changes. But yes, we can definitely use that as an asset as well, which is very common.
Got it. So just a quick recap, right? So basically your past two tax returns, your past 2 months of bank statements, social security number, license, and boom, you can get a pre-qualification.
Yeah, I mean, in my world here, if you give me all these documents, usually the same business day I try to get a pre-approval done, the most it'll take me 1 day if it's something where it's a little more advanced. So yes, I mean, it doesn't take very long. The most important thing is for people to be aware of what they need and give it to me in a timely manner. I mean, if you go into an open house on a Saturday at 2 o'clock and offers due by 5, well, you know what? It might be difficult to get that letter by 5. I mean, not impossible. I mean, I can try to make things work. But at the end of the day, I would say you want a letter at least 24 to 48 hours before you're looking at homes so that, you know, your advisor knows what you qualify for. You have an idea of what your monthly payment will be, how much money you need for, say, closing costs, down payment. These are things you want to know before you go into an open house if you're really being serious about putting an offer in.
Yeah, wow, it's all good to know. I have a lot of times when we have, you know, when I'm listing a property and we have a buyer come in, they're pre-approved, you know, we go through the process with our clients, and once in a great while, and I haven't had this with any of your buyers, but with other banks and whatnot, we've had where buyers didn't get approved for their mortgage. And we get to that mortgage contingency date, 30 days into the contract, they don't get approved. And the sellers have said, well, I thought that they were pre-approved. And I say, well, yeah, they were pre-approved. Can you explain the difference between a pre-approval and the fully approved mortgage and like kind of just a little bit of what goes into getting that mortgage fully approved and underwriting?
Sure. It's almost like an application itself. And if you look at it that way, so a traditional pre-approval, while it is good, you know, that obviously run credit, you know, you look at their bank statements, make sure ballpark they have the money they need for a down payment and closing cost. You look at, you know, their tax return will show that, you know, the income they have, the credit report shows basic. But when you really want to get to the next level, when you really want to assure a listing agent that, hey, listen, my client can get this done quickly, he's already been approved. A true approval means we actually go to underwriting and we run what's called findings. So you run findings. Findings is basically like an automated underwriting system we use. We go into this, into our program, almost like we're actually doing the loan itself, like it's under contract already. And we'll approve someone. Okay, this person, based on, let's just use a number. Let's say it's $500,000 is their purchase price. We'll use that number. Down payments would say it's 10% in this case. That's $50,000. So we'll verify those funds. Then we run through underwriting. We run their income. Also look at their monthly expenses. We'll look at what their liabilities are. You know, let's say car payments, student loans. Let's say, you know, whatever bills they incur each month. We run all that. And then the underwriter actually goes through it. Through the bank statements to make sure there's no large deposits, anything that could trigger a red flag. They'll actually go through their verification of employment. They'll reach out to their employer. Hey, John has 2 years of this company. Can you let me know what his overtime was for the last 2 years? Because when we're using different sources of income, you want to make sure those things are verified properly. Because I can look at a year to date on a pay stub. Looks all well and good, but what happened the year before? Did he have any overtime? Did she have any overtime? Did she have any bonus income? So when you do a true approval, you're not only looking at documentation, you're also making the proper calls to the, you know, to the employer. You're also looking at, you know, the bank statements themselves in detail. Is there any deposits here that doesn't make any sense? Or is there something that comes up that maybe we didn't see initially? Like there's maybe, God forbid, a child support payment we weren't aware of, or maybe alimony, or something comes up, or maybe union dues. There are different expenses we have to hit, you know, the client for, factor into the equation. So when you do a true approval, you're factoring everything in. When you give a letter, really, it's just subject to the property appraising and subject to the title coming back clean and a loan is ready to close. That's what a true approval means versus a traditional pre-approval letter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great stuff. And if you're just tuning in, I'm Emilio Desperto. This is the Desperto Team Real Estate Show. We've got Paul Salcone with North Point Bank. He handles residential mortgages. And you know, we're talking about the pre-approval process and, you know, what steps you need to take, what documents are important to get pre-approved. And in this market, if you're a buyer or you're a seller and you're also buying, getting a pre-approved for a mortgage, if you need a mortgage, is going to be one of the first things you're going to want to do. It's so important. That's your ticket. That's your hunting license. And you can't go out there and start looking until you have a really good idea of what you're going to be approved for in the current market with the current rates, with the current cost of living, with the current taxes, with the current insurance, all that other stuff. And you got to talk with a specialist that handles that. And that's somebody like Paul Salcone. Paul, appreciate you breaking that down for us, really. What are some snags that you see people get into? You know, I know last week we had Justin Conrad from your office. He was on. He was fantastic. We were talking about different snags. What have you seen like over the years, you know, that people kind of get caught up in?
Well, yeah, one thing I find with certain lenders, certain banks, you know, they may pre-approve someone, but they don't necessarily tell them what the monthly payment is. So just because you qualify for a house, let's say that's $500,000, you know, might not mean you're comfortable with that payment. You might be used to paying rent or a lesser amount with someone. And all of a sudden, okay, you qualify for more, but now your quality of life could change drastically. You're considered what they call house poor. So that's the first thing, is making sure you give someone the exact numbers or close to what the monthly payment will be, because a letter only shows what they qualify for, not what they're comfortable paying. So that's one of the things I see that comes up a lot. A second thing is also going over products, because, you know, everyone has an idea of what they want to be. I want to be conventional or FHA, or I want to be VA. I feel like you need to go over that. When I pre-approve someone, I give them different options. Hey, listen, this is what you qualify for with this program. This is what down payment will be. Because not every product is a one-shop, you know, one-stop shop for everyone. Some programs are better than others. The rate might be a little higher, but there's some pros, maybe less money for a down payment. So that's something else, that not all lenders will do that, give different options. Oh, I want to be conventional. Okay, great. But conventional might be a higher rate today. FHA might be a better option for you. So I think that's another snag, is not giving everyone the proper information and knowledge to make a decision themselves versus assuming you know what's best for them.
Yeah, you know, great call. And one of the things that we do very well is we work together hand in hand, because when we're working with buyers in specific marketplaces here in Rhode Island, Paul, they're very competitive. And let's say if you're going in and purchasing a single family in Warwick or Cranston or Narragansett or, you know, Barrington or Bristol, wherever, okay, East Providence, right? Those markets are so low in inventory right now, Warren, so low in inventory. And when you're going in as a buyer and you have the ability, instead of going FHA 3.5% down, you could go a 5% conventional program, you're gonna stand out as a more qualified buyer to the sellers. And this is just how it is, because of that conventional financing. Okay, it doesn't mean, look, that FHA person could put 20% down, right? But FHA has a whole separate inspection through the appraisal, just like VA loans, okay? And sellers know this, and realtors know this. And the point is when you're going up against cash buyers, conventional buyers, it's really hard for buyers right now, Paul, with FHA to compete in those situations unless they waive inspections, do an appraisal gap, do all these other things, which most buyers, unfortunately, can't.
Correct. These are all things we have to factor into the equation that I try to bring to light and let them make the best decision for themselves.
It's a hard conversation to have. It really is, because people are like, oh, what do you mean? And it's not that anybody's saying that financing's not good. It's fantastic. But with the extra appraisal step and inspections, I'm just saying that it just holds more risk for the seller. We still get a lot of our clients' homes in FHA and VA, Rhode Island Housing. They're all fantastic programs. And if that's where people are, if they can't do conventional, we will find them a home. We will find them a situation which will work well for them, but it's just going to take more time. You know,
absolutely.
So, you know, and that's the other thing too. So we're always working with lenders and understanding that. And I think you do a great job, Paul, breaking down the whole scenario, all of the options. There's pros and cons with everything in life, and especially with mortgages. So fantastic. Thanks for the information, Paul. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you again for having me.
You're welcome. And if you have any questions at all for Paul, feel free to text or call him, 401-419-9291. Again, 401-419-9291. This segment has been powered by Paul Saccone of North Point Bank. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. Hey, thanks for joining us today. I'm Emilio Desperado with the Desperado team here at Engel & Volkers, covering Rhode Island, surrounding Massachusetts and Connecticut, with locations in 33 countries around the world. Anything you need, we're happy to help you. And man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited to be here with you each and every Sunday. I'm going to give you my cell phone number. If you have any real estate questions at all, I want you to text or call me anytime. I'm happy to help you. 401-359-2338. Hey, today I'm going to talk about something that I've been hearing a lot of in the news, and we get a lot of questions about this, and I really want to hit the nail on the head with you today. And I want to kind of uncover, really the truth that's out there and some that's not so much, right? And that's the compensation of real estate agents. There's a lot of talk in the news how the quote unquote 6%, fee, the 6% commissions is gone. Sellers are going to save money. Prices are going to drop. This and that. And let me tell you, we're going to break that down with you today. And I want you to go ahead and make your own assumptions after hearing some of the things that I have to say. But before we get into that, first off, let's talk about how traditionally it was done and how still many real estate agents and sellers still choose to do their business, right? Now, when you go to list a property for sale, right, you normally are going to hire a real estate agent. And when a property goes on MLS, the multi-listing service, that's basically our portal in which we put all the information on every house, and that's what's called the market, okay? From there, it feeds out to wonderful websites like Zillow, Realtor.com, Trulia, all those websites, all the different brokerage websites as well, where consumers can access all the information for the most part as realtors. That's a good thing. Now, on MLS, right, again, when you're hiring a realtor, the realtor puts it on MLS, and traditionally the listing agent will go in and meet with sellers and say, okay, the total fee for your transaction, okay, is X amount. You know, of that X amount, we're going to give, say, half and put it on MLS and allow buyer's agents to see this, so that they can come in and be compensated for bringing buyers here. It's incentive to attract agents to bring their buyers. Now, this is how it's been done for quite a while, right? Decades. And I guess somebody said that that's not fair. Okay. And of course, maybe not. But this is not an opinion piece on me. I'm just breaking down, you know, what we got here, what we're hearing. Okay. So what they did is they decided, the Department of Justice decided, hey, listen, we're going to go ahead and take this case on. And there is a settlement in place where the National Association of Realtors has agreed to remove compensation from MLS. And also realtors have to tell consumers, in which I believe, you know, a lot of us already have, is that commission is negotiable. It always has been negotiable, okay? So they want it to be a more transparent situation for consumers to say, hey, listen, sellers do not have any obligation to pay buyer's agents, okay? And that makes sense, right? It makes sense. But now, if sellers are not paying buyer's agents and a buyer comes in and wants representation, what happens? So let's talk about that, okay? And I hope this is making sense, right? And if you're just tuning in, I'm Emilio Despirito. I'm one of the licensed partners here at Engel & Volkers here in Rhode Island. We've got two locations, East Greenwich and Barrington East Bay. And, you know, we love working with our clients, and we want to make sure that our clients have a fantastic experience. And today we're talking about the commission settlements, okay, with the National Association of Realtors. And if you missed any of this segment, you can go ahead and rewind it. You can check it out on iHeartRadio, WHJJ app, or SoundCloud. We're all over there. Follow us on social media. Okay, so here's the story, right? So now we're in a hardcore seller's market, okay? You're putting properties on the market, and you're attracting a lot of buyers to them. So in a market like this, maybe it makes sense for you to not offer compensation to real estate agents for buyers because you're already bringing people in. However, that money's got to come from somewhere. So what's happening now is buyers' agents are sitting down with buyers and they're going over an exclusive agreement with the buyers. This is more and more and more common. And they're telling the buyers, they're saying, listen, in order for me to represent you, this is my fee, here it is, and here's what I'm going to do for you, and here's what I expect from you. Just as what we do when we're sitting down with sellers, okay? And there's certain times where sellers are not offering compensation anymore to buyer's agents, and in that event, then the buyer would have to pay that fee. So let's go back to these news headlines, okay? The news is saying no more 6%. I got to tell you something. That's not true at all, okay? Because consumers who they're all aware of this, and if not, we tell them about it, are still giving realtors higher end compensation when they want a higher end service, when they want to hire somebody who is extremely qualified, who knows the market, they're going to pay a little more for that. And I want to break it down like that. And you don't have to, you got options, and there's always options. Our clients have options. We got different packages, right? But it's kind of like this, right? You could go out to eat at Applebee's and you're going to walk in and, you know, it's Applebee's, right? You're going to go in there, you're going to get, you know, somewhat okay service, right? You're going to get a piece of steak that's probably slapped in the microwave, you know, frozen vegetables slapped in the microwave, I don't know. And you're going to go ahead and get this slapped on your plate. You're still going to pay, you know, quite a bit. You're not going to have an amazing experience. It's pretty run of the mill. Maybe not the best place to take a date, right? And you're going to leave there probably, I don't know, not feeling as well as you would if you went to a nicer place, right? Now you go into the Capitol Grill, it's a complete different set of circumstances. Of course, it's more expensive, okay? But you go in and they welcome you. They bring you to your seat. They pull out your seat, your date's chair. They throw a linen on your lap. They come over to you right away with bread, with water. They make sure that entire time that you want for nothing, they come out with your steak and the sides, and everything is cooked to perfection. And if it's not, they make sure they fix it. The waiter or waitress comes out. They make sure that you're having a great time. The manager comes out. How is everything? There's a full team approach there. And you leave there having a great time, feeling fulfilled, and with leftovers, and you're happy you went there, and it was well worth it for the experience and for the taste of that meal. That's the best way how I can explain it. You can hire any hack at a discount rate to come in and do some work, but do you think hiring a hack attorney to take you into court, okay, in any given situation, whatever you're going through, is going to get you the same result as hiring the best attorney in the area? Not so much, okay? So the news is doing a wonderful job of twisting these headlines. There's a lot of misinformation out there. With 10 minutes, I don't have all the time to go over all this with you, but I hope that was helpful. And if you have any questions, you can go ahead and give me a call, 401-359-2338, and I'll guide you through it. We can cover more of this as the show goes on, maybe next week or the week after, 401-359-2338. I'm Emilio DeSpirito. This is the DeSpirito Team Real Estate Show, powered by Engel & Volkers, and we'll be back in 2 minutes. Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Emilio DeSpirito, and this is your show all about real estate. And we've got a great guest with us here with us today, and it's George Metz of G Metz Moving and Storage. Now, George is a local business owner here, and his company is top notch. I've referred them out to my clients for several years, probably close to a decade, it has to be now, a long time. I've known him personally, professionally, and he's a class act, wonderful guy all around. And I'm excited to have you on the show with us here today, George, because I wanted to ask you some questions about you, about your company, about the trajectory of your company, the growth of it, everything. Really honored to have you on as a guest today.
Emilio, again, always thanks for having us, and we appreciate it. Yeah, it's been, I would say, probably a little over a decade that we've been working together, helping clients get from point A to point B and anywhere in between. So we truly appreciate it, and couldn't thank you enough for the referrals and the trust that you have in us.
Thank you, man. Same thing. That's the best part about having business relationships, business partnerships with people. And you've sent referrals over to me over the years too. We've taken care of family, friends, and other clients and whatnot. So thank you so much. And I know you have other realtor partners too, which is great, man. That's what makes the whole world go around. So, George, look, you've been in the business quite a bit. I want to say you're fourth generation mover. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. We say it. Well, I say it pretty consistently. You know, four generations. My family has been in the moving industry. I'm a fourth generation mover. But we never really get into it. It's just a quick blip. You know, I was told in a training class a very long time ago, what differs you from somebody else? And how do you know you're not a fly-by-night company, here today, going tomorrow? Well, we're going on 14-plus years in the business that I have opened my own. But also, I'm a fourth-generation mover. So from Rhode Island, from local. So my family has been in the transportation business, for decades, longer than I was alive. And to me, you know, again, we kind of glance over it and, oh, it's a fourth-generation mover. That doesn't mean anything to the client. But at the end of the day, that means a lot, because it's a lot of experience. It's a lot of understanding what goes into making a successful move, seeing bad product, hearing horror stories. And then those are the things that we want to make sure that we capture on to make sure it doesn't happen. And if it does happen, that we have a good resolve and we're quick with it. It's not something that's going to get dragged out.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's your profession. It's kind of like masons, right? Like stonemasons, like for like generations, a family might be stonemasons or they could be glass blowers, or they could be realtors, or they could be whatever. So it's literally ingrained into you because you've seen it as a little boy and you're hearing stories that were dropped down, and then they got to you. So now you're, and I got to tell you, from an outside looking in, you have all this family history of this. You are now refining the moving space, right? All the way down to your hiring, the way you hire people, who you hire, what you're all about, who you are. Tell us a little bit about your story, about how, number one, you decided to get into this, and then number two, who you are, your processes, why.
Yep. So as I said, I've been moving literally since I was 8 years old. I moved my first grandfather clock with my grandfather at about 12 years old, moved my first baby grand piano, probably around 13 years old, with an uncle, a cousin, my grandfather. So, you know, I was born into it, right? So to me, I always liked doing the moving. It was always something different every day. It wasn't coming back to the same cubicle every day, seeing the same four walls. Every day was different, and every day has its own challenges. So to me, you know, one, I enjoy trying to find a solution to a challenge, and something new every day was always something good. You know, it was just different, right? I went to New England Tech locally to learn automotive and get good with my hands, and I loved working on cars, but to me, it was a hobby, right? I liked it. I loved it. It was great, but it wasn't the profession I wanted. You know, as a young child, probably 13, 14 years old, when there was pagers, right? I had a pager, right, at a young age. So my parents would know how to get in touch with me, or, hey, it's time to come home, whatever the case was. And I was told at a very young age, if you want nice things, you have to work your butt off. No one's just going to hand them to you. So to me, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always knew I wanted to own a business. And I was with a family-owned company. I wanted to grow at that facility, and there wasn't space for it. It was kind of, I was at my cap. There was no further growth there, unfortunately. So I was let go, and I started my own thing probably within 3 months of being let go, and we've been going strong ever since. So, you know, at the beginning, it was hire whoever we could, get the right people, the right attitudes, and it was just go, right? It was get guys, get a truck, and get out there and go. Now we take a different approach, right? It's not just grab the guy and let's go to work. Now it's get the right guy with the right attitude. Get the right man or woman with the core values of who we are as a company, what we care about, what we're trying to promote, right? I am still a huge believer of hold the door for the next person in line. You know, keep the elevator door open for the elderly person walking down the hallway. These people have nothing to do with us on a daily basis. They're not paying us. They're not a customer. But if I go to a local gas station and I'm walking in, I hold the door for the next person, whether they're 10 feet away or 15 feet away.
Right.
It's we're human. We have to care. And if you don't care, personally in life, you're not going to care business. We are not here for the quick buck. We are here for long term. and we're here to help the customer in a very stressful time of transition. Even people who are looking forward to it realize that there is still a lot of stress that goes along with moving. When you're anxious, when you're happy about it, there's still a lot of stress. So for us, it's making sure the guys realize they're going into a stressful situation. Take the time. If you have to wear kid gloves today, you wear kid gloves. If today is we're doing commercial and it's a lot of moving parts, well, we're not in there. We're not blasting music while there's still, 20 people working on the other side of the building. If anything, it's, a guy with one earbud in, enjoying his music, but doing his job. And it's just, again, the smaller stuff that turns into a big deal, especially when it comes to people are paying for us to be out there a lot of times by the hour. And if they see lazy guys just sitting on the back of the truck, I used to say smoking their cigarettes and drinking their coffee, again, because of how far back I go. Now it's their, they have their vape and maybe an energy drink. Completely different, but at the same point, they know when to take their breaks. It's not, we've been here for 10 minutes. All right, everybody take a break. No, they know what they're doing. They've been trained. We do have processes and procedures on how to hire, how to train the drivers, train the helpers. So from the newest guy on the force to the guy who's been here for years, they've all gone through the same training. They all have the same processes and procedures, and they're able to actually gather those and look at them. They're not just on a board in our office. They're not in a 3-ring binder on the bookshelf. They're actually in places that they can get to them, and they're just not sitting there on the shelf collecting dust.
George, I know you have a vetting process for who you hire, but you said something a few minutes back, and you were talking about your core values of your company, and then you talked about how you hold doors for people. And do you have like specific words that are your core values of GMATS Moving and Storage?
So we do, and a lot of it is, it's funny, but they're not huge words, right? Gratitude. People have to be grateful, right? So being grateful, hardworking, or caring, right? So those are just a few. I think we have about 6 or 7 total. Professionalism, which again probably goes along with the courtesy and caring. Motivated. If these people aren't motivated to come in, I mean, the other day I went through a drive-thru and the person's pretty much aggravated that I'm ordering something through the drive-thru, and I'm like, I'm hungry. You're the person that I'm getting the service from, and it was just they were irritated. And I get there and I'm like, just smile. You'd feel much better today.
Yeah.
And the guy kind of like laughed and chuckled.
Fill this out, please. And then they want the tip.
Right. Yep. So to me, that's when I said, sure, maybe you're just having a bad day, but a smile would go a long way. And he did smile before I left. But to me, I'm looking at it saying the likelihood of me coming back to this drive-thru for a service is minimal. Because I'm not looking, again, whether it was a $10 meal or bigger. You want customer service. You want to feel like the person is caring enough. And those are the things that we just don't, unfortunately, you don't see as much anymore.
George, talk about, you got some pretty athletic men that work for you. And when you're moving is hard work.
Yep.
Keeping people motivated, I've found, is near impossible. You got to hire people that are motivated and that can keep each other accountable. And I've found the accountability. I've found the professionalism. I found them to be motivated. I've found your crew to do all of what you said plus more. Talk about what is your ideal candidate that you hire. What qualifications do they have? What backgrounds do they have? How do you choose who you're hiring?
So we have gone through, and it's funny because you said a masonry, right? One of our best hires was a mason.
Was
a bricklayer. Was the guy that was carrying cement bags upstairs to get, or up ladders to get to what they needed to do. So to me, we are looking for physically fit people, and sometimes it's the high school or college athlete that was a great football player, basketball player, hockey player, and they want to stay in the physical aspect, and maybe they don't go further with their sports career or even education, but they want a good quality job that has consistent hours and a physical job. I mean, some people come on and they're a little out of shape when they get here. By the time they leave, they're in tip-top shape because it's a job, right? It's very physical, very demanding. We're up and down stairs, we're carrying stuff. I mean, we work in very cold weather in the middle of the winter, and we work in very hot weather in the middle of the summer. And these guys stay motivated. Like you said, they're holding each other accountable. They want to make sure that the customer has a good feeling about everything that's going on so they can get future work. They realize that what they do today might not affect next week or the week after, but it's going to affect that third, fourth, and fifth week from now because of the referrals. So they're out there busting their butt, making sure that that customer has such a good experience that we're turning them into a fan of GMET's Moving, not just a client, a fan of GMET's Moving.
That's right. And you know what the other thing that's brilliant is that hiring movers with a background in athletics, their team, they're big into teamwork, they're team members. And, yep. And you know, it's a lot of what they're doing is team lift, and not only team lift, but they're literally in charge of the health of the person that's on the top of the stairs or the bottom of the stairs lifting large credenzas or large, you know, beds or stuff that normal people are not moving on a day-to-day stuff, right? Like, you would get hurt moving some of the stuff I've seen your guys move. And I can speak to this because as a kid several years back, I worked for a moving company, man, and that stuff is backbreaking. And you got to be careful with who you're working with, who you hire, and really who's around your clients. And without a shadow of a doubt, I've never had an issue with GMET's Moving and Storage. 10 years in, you guys have always done more than what my clients expected. And I got to shout out one other thing for you, George, is that you're not like a lot of the other moving companies where, and I hope this is still the same, because if not, you know, whoops, but you're flexible. I know that, but you don't require a deposit for the move. Correct. Is that correct?
Correct. So correct.
So you're not requiring deposit, and you're flexible if somebody's closing gets pushed back, which to me, that's one of the number one reasons outside of everything else I mentioned why I use you, because we need flexibility with our clients when they're moving.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that we take huge pride in, because when you're a customer, you're a customer. So if you book for the 15th and the 15th falls through and now it has to be the 25th because of whatever it is, right? There's so many different things that can make that domino effect happen, and then all of a sudden the move is getting pushed back. We try to be as flexible as possible. And then also we have other options. So if that client has to be out of house A, we can bring them into storage temporarily, get them taken care of, get them out of their current house to prepare to get them into their new house. So we are being as flexible as possible. And I did want to correct one thing. We only take long distance deposits. So locally, no deposits. If you're moving more than 150 air miles away, that is considered long distance. We do deposits on that side.
And that makes total sense. Listen, if you have any questions for George at all, if you're a real estate agent and you're looking for a partner in the business that can help your clients, and not only that, but make you look like an all-star as well, because really, that's where it's at, right? You're going to want to link up with George Metz of GMET's Moving and Storage. And if you're looking to move, then you can reach George at 401-383-6399. Again, that's 401-383-6399. George and his team, they're going to take great care of you. I guarantee you that. 401-383-6399. GMET's Moving and Storage, with the ability to move not only locally, but nationally as well. They provide storage and many other services, boxes, everything else you need. They can even go and pack for you as well, too. So check these guys out. They're the best in the business. I only recommend GMET's Moving and Storage. George, thanks so much for jumping on. It was great to learn about you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Great segment. This segment's been powered by GMET's Moving and Storage. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the top five events happening here in Rhode Island with riblogger.com. We'll be right back with the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. All right, good morning. Welcome back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. We've got on Jennifer Jaber with riblogger.com. She's here to discuss the top five events happening here in Rhode Island. And I got to tell you, Rhode Island, is probably one of the most beautiful places in the entire country, if not the entire world. And I know you may say, Emilio, you're nuts. I'm not. It's absolutely beautiful here in the spring and summer. And you got to check out riblogger.com. You'll find the best places to go, best places to take the kids, take a date, whatever you got to do. It's all there, riblogger.com. Jen, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks for having me.
As always. What do we got?
Well, we're already talking about May. Saturday, May 4th is the 21st annual Spring Festival at Newport Vineyards from 11:30 to 5. And you can join and raise a glass to spring. Enjoy wine and beer tastings, live music, delicious bites, grape stomping, pie eating contest, and much more. There will also be Star Wars themed specials because it's May 4th, and also Derby Day surprises. There's two sessions, 11:30 to 2 and 2:30 to 5. Saturday, May 4th is also at the Wyndham Hotel in Newport is the Kentucky Derby fundraiser, taking the reins on homelessness with the May organization. You can immerse yourself in the excitement of Derby while supporting a great cause. You can enjoy entertainment, delicious food, lots of beverages. There'll also be a best hat and bow tie contest, friendly wagers, raffles, auctions, and much more. If you're interested in Cinco de Mayo, it's Sunday, May 5th. It's at Moonshine Alley's Cinco de Mayo brunch. It's from 11:30 to 4. There'll be margs and guitars, a fiesta brunch, tequila cocktails, guac on the rock, live music, and much more. If you're a guacamole fan, this sounds amazing. Wednesday, May 1st is the Wicked Best Guacamole Showcase and Tasting from 5:30 to 9 at Providence Brewing Company. Local restaurants will be promoting tastings and highlighting their holy guacamole skills. It's 21 plus, free parking, and a rain or shine event. You can enjoy, taste, and vote for your favorite. Learn about how they're made, and the first 100 early bird passes get a free beer ticket. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, Mother's Day is around the corner. So Saturday, May 4th from 10 a.m. to 3:30 at the Crown Plaza is the Mother's Day stroll. You can browse over 100 local vendors and crafters. Find the perfect gift for mom or someone special in your list. And there'll also be lots of sweet treats available as well.
That's right. Mom's Day is coming. You got to take care of the moms.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? Dad's Day is coming too. So, you know.
Yeah, right. You can't really mess up on that one.
No. But dads are easy. Like, we don't want nothing. We just want love and respect and honor. That's it. I don't need anything else. But good stuff. Thank you so much, Jennifer, and we'll talk with you next week.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You're very welcome. You too. Check her out on riblogger.com. Good stuff. What a great show today. I would like to thank Paul Salcone of North Point Bank for jumping on with us today, talking about the pre-approval process. Jennifer Jaber of riblogger.com, top five events in Rhode Island. John LaPointe with LaPointe Insurance. And George Metz of G Metz Moving and Storage. Thank you all so much for jumping on. I'm Emilio Despirito with the Despirito team here at Engel & Volkers. And we're here to help you out if you need any assistance buying or selling real estate in Rhode Island, Mass, Connecticut, or anywhere around the globe. We can refer you out. Save the digits, 401-359-2338. Again, 401-359-2338. I love connecting with our radio show listeners. Let us know how you're doing. Text, call. We'll see you later. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you.